It was on one of those trudges, the very last leg, that Yule finally asked me about the parking ramp dinosaur. Ever since our day together in Norsloff, it had been clear he had wanted to get something off his chest. When he and Cord had suddenly become an item, he had avoided being alone with me for a couple of days. But once it was clear that I was not going to go non-linear, he'd begun a gentle search for opportunities to talk to me one-on-one. I'd assumed the topic was going to be him and Cord, but Yule was full of surprises. "Some say it was a dinosaur, some say dragon," I told him. "One of the first things we were taught about the incident is that nothing can be known of it for certain."
"Since all evidence was wiped out by the encanters?"
"That's one story. The second thing we were taught, by the way, was that we should never discuss the incident with seculars." He got a frustrated look. "Sorry," I said. "That's just how it is. Most accounts agree that one group, let's call them Group A, started it, and Group B finished it. In popular folklore, A equals the so-called Redders and B equals the so-called Encanters. It happened 3 months before the opening of the third sack."
"But the dinosaur, or the dragon or whatever, really did appear in the parking ramp."
Yule and I were walking side by side on compacted snow, a stone's throw off to the right side of the Drummond-jammed slit trench. Closer to it, conditions were dangerous because men, many of them intoxicated, were zipping back and forth on snow machines. The track that Yule and I were following appeared to have been laid down by such a machine a day or two earlier. We could tell where our fetches were in the trench because we had learned to recognize the jury-rigged snorkels of the adjoining Drummonds. The traffic seemed to be accelerating slightly so that we had to mush harder in order to keep pace. This was probably because we were only a couple of miles from the sledge port. We could see its antennas, its smoke, and its lights a couple of miles ahead. Even if the fetches outdistanced us, we'd be able to reach it on foot, so we weren't overly concerned about keeping up. "It was only a couple of thousand feet away from Muncoster," I said. "There was a city there, as there is now. Overall level of affluence and praxic development, let's say 9 on a scale of 10.
"Where are we today?"
Yule asked. "Let's say 8. But the society around Muncoster had peaked, though they didn't know it yet. Deolaters were gaining political influence."
"Which arc?"
"I don't know. One of those that is aggressive about garnering power. They had an iconography."
"A what?"
"Well," I said, "let's just say that they felt threatened by certain things that avowed tend to believe."
"Such as that the world is old,"
Yule said. "Yeah. There had been trouble at a couple of annual apparts and bigger trouble at the decennial of 2780. The tenor's math got sacked a little on 10th night. But then things seemed to calm down. Appert was over. Things went back to normal. So, now, a parking ramp was then under construction within sight of the consent. It was part of a shopping center. The avowed could see it going up just by looking out the windows of their towers. Muncoster has a lot of towers. The ramp was finished a few months later. Seculars went in there every day and parked their cars. No problem. 6 years passed. The shopping center expanded. The workers had to make some structural changes to the parking ramp so that they could attach a new wing. One of them was up on the fourth level, using a pneumatic hammer to demolish part of the floor when he noticed something embedded in the synthetic stone. It looked like a claw. Investigating, they removed more and more stone. It was a major safety issue since the building isn't structurally sound if there are such things as claws and bones and load-bearing members. They had to shore it up. The building was weakening, sagging before their eyes. The more they uncovered, the worse it got. When all was said and done, they had uncovered a complete skeleton of a 100-foot-long reptile embedded in synthetic stone that had only been poured 4 years earlier. The Deolaters didn't know what to make of it. There started to be serious unrest and violence around the walls of the consent. Then one night, chanting was heard from the Thousander's Tower. It went on all night. The next day, the parking ramp was back to normal. So the story goes.
"Do you believe it?"
Yule asked. "Something happened. There were records."
"You mean like phototypes of the skeleton?"
"I'm referring more to things like the memories in the witnesses' minds. Piles of lumber used to shore up the structure, the paperwork at the lumber yard, a little bit of additional wear on the tires of the Drummonds that carried the lumber to the site."
"Like ripples spreading out,"
Yule said. Yeah. So if the skeleton suddenly vanishes and there's no physical evidence it was ever there, what do you have left?
Only the records,
Yule said, nodding vigorously, as if he understood it better than I.
The ripples without the splash.
The tires of the lumber Drummond didn't suddenly get unworn. The paperwork at the lumberyard didn't vanish from the files. But now there is a conflict. The world isn't coherent anymore. There are logical contradictions.
Big piles of shoring lumber in front of a parking ramp that never needed to be shored up,
Yule said. Yeah. And it's not that this is physically impossible. Obviously, it is possible to have a pile of wood in front of a parking ramp, or some pieces of paper in a filing cabinet, but the problem, the issue it raises, is that the overall state of affairs just doesn't add up anymore. I was remembering the Pink Dragon dialogue with Orlo, realizing all these months later that his choice of a dragon to illustrate the point had been no accident. He had been trying to remind us of the very incident Yule was talking about. We heard a braying engine behind us and turned around to see Ganeliel Crade headed our way on the three-wheeler. Yule and I exchanged a look that meant, let's not discuss this around him. Yule bent down, scooped up a double handful of snow, and tried to pack it into a ball to throw at his cousin. It was too cold to pack, though.